I didn't begin my life as a rabbi. I began my life as a beggar. And I don't just mean from my parents, although there was plenty of that, but I mean from others as well. And my parents are here this morning and can testify to the truth of what I am about to tell you. When my brother and I were kids, I was 7 and he was 8, we used to walk around the neighborhood on a Shabbat afternoon and knock on people's doors. And when they opened the doors and saw us there, we would expect them to feed us. And they did. And I still remember to this day, over 30 years later, who gave us what? Rose Goranzik was a nice lady, but her cookies were so-so. The Goldberger's brownies were top-notch, and I developed a lifelong fondness for tomatoes at Mrs. Katz's, because she grew them in her backyard. And every Shabbat, my brother Paul and I would make the rounds of all these people's homes in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and we would get fed. I was explaining this last night to our Friday Night Live crowd, and I said to them, now why is it that all these people fed us, other than the great Jewish drive to create eating disorders in the young, which of course is a long-standing tradition, as anybody knows, who goes to any Jewish event. But it was also because there was this sense, a familial sense, that any Jewish child who shows up is somehow part of the same community, family, welcome to come in, expected in a sense. The same thing we used to do on Sukkot, when you would walk into anybody's sukkah anywhere in the neighborhood and they would feed you. It just was part of what it meant to be in the Jewish community. And that is a sense, a powerful sense, that is fostered by our tradition. Kol Yisrael arevim zeh v'zeh. All Israel is responsible for one another. It's why when you look in the newspaper and you see somebody did something wrong, what do you say? Hope he's not Jewish. Right? I know his name is Solomon Goldman Schwartz, but I hope he's not Jewish. Right? And in fact, somebody this past week asked me where that statement comes from, Kol Yisrael arevim zeh v'zeh, so I immediately went to the books because I didn't have it off the top of my head. And I found out that in its context in the Talmud in Shavuot, it's about when a Jew does something wrong. It's not all Israel's responsible for one another, so therefore we should take care of one another. It was all Israel's responsible for one another, so the sin of one Israelite somehow involves the entire community. In other words, the tie, the cord, the thing that binds us together was very tight and very powerful. And not just in one's town or in one's neighborhood. If there was a Jew in trouble halfway across the world, Jews felt an immediate, undeniable impulse to help. Because Kol Yisrael arevim zeh v'zeh. All Israel is tied to one another. And by the way, the root of that, Ayin Resh Bet, of Arevim means guarantors. We are guarantors for one another, and you know what you do as a guarantor. That is, I back up your loan. So if you slip or you have trouble, I come rushing in, because after all, I co-signed for you. We're all the same. We were all there at Sinai. We all said yes, and therefore, if I slip, it's your job to catch me. By the way, the same root can also mean ta'arovet, which means a blending or a mixture. Because even though we are all individually different, we're all supposed to be the same. We're all a mixture. We're coming up on Shavuot. And on Shavuot, we read about the giving of the Torah, and the Torah switches when it talks about how the children of Israel camped around Mount Sinai, from the plural to the singular, from Vayachanu to Vayechan. First it says they camped, and then it says it camped. In other words, they came there as many, but once we reached Sinai, we're all one. Last year, two American Jewish sociologists, Stephen Cohen and Arnie Eisen, decided to test this proposition. And they asked affiliated Jews, that is, Jews who belong to some Jewish organization, not the leadership and not people who didn't have any affiliation, but Jews who belong to some Jewish organization, whether they consider it their first priority to help other Jews. 50% of them said yes, which means half of all Jews said no. That is a crisis. Because the Jewish community forever has been sustained not just by its horizontal relation to God, but by our vertical relations to each other. In this synagogue, we've raised $4 million for Israel over the past couple of years. Why? Why? Raising that money did nothing for our quality of life in Los Angeles. Didn't get us a new car, a new home, social status, nothing, but it helped Jews. Rabbi Schuldenfrei and Rabbi Hirsch are in the family minyan, where I was earlier, which takes up the theme of family. Rabbi Schuldenfrei was in the former Soviet Union earlier this year, visiting Jewish communities, trying to help them and give them support. Rabbi Hirsch visited Argentina and, with a matching grant from the Jewish Federation, raised $2 million. Why? Because that principle is the only thing that has sustained the Jewish people. I remember years ago I taught at Hunter College in New York. And I taught a class in modern Jewish philosophy to Jews and non-Jews. And one day, one of the Jewish students came up to me, and he said, this afternoon, in front of the United Nations, there are going to be two different rallies. One is to free Soviet Jewry. The other is a protest against apartheid in South Africa. I want to go to the apartheid rally. Can you give me a reason why I should go to the Soviet Jewry rally instead? I said, yes, I can, actually. Here's my reason. The rally against apartheid is very important. But if you go as a Jew to the rally against apartheid, I want to know who's going to go to the rally for Soviet Jewry. If we don't take care of Jewish needs, who's going to rush in to fill that breach? And this doesn't mean, as you know, I hope you know, this doesn't mean that Jews don't have a responsibility to the greater world. We do. A powerful responsibility. Many of you were at the evening of Jewish World Watch where we tried to raise money and awareness about the tragedy that is ongoing in Darfur, that we have a special responsibility to speak out when things happen in Bosnia, in Rwanda, in Cambodia. That is a Jewish responsibility because we believe in the prophetic mandate that we represent something of what God wishes in this world. But you got to start by understanding that the ties of family don't weaken your concern for others. They strengthen it. That I have not found, and I'm sure you've not found, that people who come from families where they don't love one another and take care of one another are particularly inclined to take care of people outside the family. I found that people who grow up with a sense of being loved and cherished are much more likely to reach out and help others. And a Jewish community that feels taken care of and strong and tight is a much more effective advocate for the world than a Jewish community that is divided and separated and cares not for itself but only for others. When I go to institutions in Los Angeles and I see Jewish names on the walls of the symphony and the museum and the art gallery, I think it's a nice thing. And it only upsets me when I don't see those names on the walls of the synagogue. Because then I know that this is someone who doesn't believe Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevazeh. It is somebody who has abandoned the mission, who has jumped ship, who has left us alone. The reason we call ourselves Jews has to do not with our relationship to God. Yehuda was a political, social entity. It was the kingdom of Judah. We call ourselves Yehudim because of our relationship to one another. We say the Shema not to God, but to each other. Shema Yisrael. Listen, everybody. Our central declaration of prayer is intended to teach us that we are one. As I said earlier, Am Echad Belev Echad, one people with one heart. That is how our sages described Israel as they stood at Sinai. There was no division. And even when there is division later, there is still a sense of a common destiny and a common past. If there is one thing that more than anything else imperils the Jewish future, it is not the Jewish relationship to God, it is the Jewish relationship to Jews. We weren't chosen as individuals to stand at Sinai. We were chosen as a people. And it is as a people that we will change this world or be changed by it. Rabbi Schuldenfrei earlier talked about Birkat Kohanim, the priestly blessing, where God says to the priests, I want you to bless the people, and this is how you should bless the people. You should say, God bless you and keep you. So the rabbis ask a very obvious question about this, which is, if God wants to bless the people, why doesn't God bless the people? What do you need the priests for? I mean, priests are nice. But how much more powerful would it be if God were to be at Sinai Temple and you would hear a voice come through the PA system and it would bless you? And their answer is that in fact, Israel is not blessed unless they bless one another. We are the source of blessing in this world, and of sustenance and of care. When I knocked on that door with my brother, the door opened, and a Jewish family took us in. That's the way it used to be. That's the way it ought to be. And that is the only way it can be if we are to survive. Remember, in an analogy that I have mentioned before, what Natan Sharansky said, that when he was young, he had a choice. He could try to save the whole world, or he could begin by trying to save the Jewish people. So he could become a communist or a refusenik. Some of his friends decided to save the world. They became communists, he said, and participated in enslaving half the world. He became a refusenik, and along with other refuseniks, ended up liberating the Soviet Union. Because, says Sharansky, borrowing an image from the writer Cynthia Ozick, the shofar has a broad end and a narrow end. If you begin by blowing in the broad end, if you try to do everything and save everyone, you get nothing. But if you start by blowing in the narrow end, you get a sound that everyone can hear. Kol Yisrael arevim ze bazeh. We are all responsible for one another, to celebrate together, to grieve together, to link arms as we move through this world. And if we do, as in the past, we will make a sound that everyone can hear. Shabbat Shalom.